Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith here with Saul Bookman, Gerald Bourget, and Espo. Gentlemen, how you feeling? Have you kind of washed away the sins of last night, or do we need to have a few more discussions about it?
I feel like we're in the movie Pleasantville, where you guys all haven't transitioned to color, and I'm in full color here. This is a bizarre color matchup today on the program. Wearing a bright blue and yellow jersey for the audio listeners, and they're all wearing black and gray and...
Well, I have brown. That's more brown color than normal.
All muted to colors. So.
I did not get the memo on the super bright jersey today.
Same.
I don't ever wear super bright anything, so I feel like you can always count me out on that.
I thought this would be warm, and then I forgot hockey jerseys have those little pinholes in it, and I freeze my ass off this morning taking my daughter to school.
Everyone's asking why you're wearing a Warriors jersey.
It's not. It's a Phoenix Roadrunners jersey. Come on, people.
God. It looks like a Warriors jersey.
I got to educate everybody.
I think there's a few things that we should still bring up from last night. A couple things on the show that we talked about, a couple things that we want to dive a little bit deeper in. Obviously, the Suns fell to the Heat 113 to 112. So I know there was something specific that you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, you know, last night I was kind of hard on DA at the end of the game. I felt like he got a rebound I felt like he was close enough to the basket to be able to at least take a peek. And it just kind of led into the whole Mikhail and DA not stepping up and constantly deferring to Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Well, here's a picture of that exact rebound. Listen, he's not as close to the rim as I thought maybe he was. He's surrounded by three guys, and if you know, two of those three are big time floppers, and Bam Adebayo and Kyle Lowry. I understand. The more egregious thing, and this is something we talked about before we got on the camera, please leave that up there for a second there, Emma, is that Mikal Bridges literally starts inside the three-point line and starts to back up. And you think he's getting positioned to take a wide-open shot because it is a wide-open shot. Subsequently, DA kicks the ball out to him. And my problem with this is that I was bagging on the wrong guy last night. It was DA took a brunt of this. He did not deserve that. I'm sorry, DA, if you ever listen to this. I apologize. You did right here. Mikal Bridges, on the other hand, an egregious error. It's okay if he doesn't end up taking the shot. But the, you know, like, I don't know if Gerald, if you want to jump in here on this one for Mikal, because we talked about this before.
Yeah, you know, he gets the ball outside the three-point line when DA kicks it out to him. And I think that's Strus that goes and closes out on him. And Mikal catches the ball, and he doesn't even think or contemplate about putting up a shot. He just gives it right back to Devin Booker. And I get with, like, you know, because by the time that happened, there's about 10 seconds left. I get wanting to give the ball to your best player, give him another go. But he was wide open from three. And even if he didn't take the three, he was one pump fake away from Strus flying by him and driving to the basket. And all night we saw him attack off the dribble. We saw him get to his spots in the mid-range. He had a couple of nice post-ups that led to mid-range jumpers. And that same aggression wasn't there. Again, I get getting the ball to Book in that scenario. He was the one that was cooking all night. But if you're Mikal Bridges and you're basically a 50% three-point shooter this season, that shot has to go up without thinking about it, or you have to pump fake, drive, and get to the basket, especially on a night where you only have four free throw attempts. Like, this was an easy situation where you could have pulled up for a mid-range shot or drawn in the defense, because you see Butler's in position to help. That would have freed up Booker for a top of the key three, too. So it's just a tough scenario there. We talked about how DA and Mikal Bridges only got one field goal attempt in the fourth quarter. And it's not a matter of how the Suns were playing as much as we were talking about campaign taking a lot of shots. Some of it is plays just like this where they need to be more aggressive.
And this is a part of, like, the growing process that we've been talking about, is not deferring all the time, especially in close games towards the end of the game when you're in a great position to take a shot or like you said, drive to the basket. This is a lesson that Mikal needs to learn. DA needs to learn it as well in certain situations. But for this one specifically, you got to look at Mikal and be like, Mikal, in this type of a situation, because you're going to find yourself in this situation again throughout the season. You need to do the exact opposite of what you did. You need to take the shot. You need to believe in yourself and have the confidence that you can show up in the clutch, just like Devin and CP3 can.
It was very helter-skelter. I understand that. A lot of things are moving very, very fast. But again, if you the other egregious thing is, yes, there was multiple opportunities for Monty to be able to reset everything and say, okay, we don't have a good plan right now. We need to make sure that we kind of variate this. And come up with a good executable play at the end of this game, as opposed to what essentially, I mean, you put the ball in Devin Booker's hands, so it's not egregious, but you know, after that block, probably a good idea to call a timeout. You have 4.5 seconds left to go on the clock, but it didn't happen.
Well, the other thing, if Mikal takes that shot and misses, at worst, you foul Miami, and you still have a chance to get a shot to tie the game if they make both free throws, because you have a timeout in that situation. So there's nothing to lose by Mikal taking that wide open shot. And those are teachable moments. That is what Monty should be working on today in film.
Right. And when you're down, there needs to be a change in mentality, because I think part of the reason he kicked that ball out is there was still time on the clock and they wanted to save for the last shot. If you're down, you need to score however quickly you can score and trust your second-ranked defense to get a stop if you score and put yourselves ahead and still give them time to answer. Like, you shouldn't be saving for the last shot if you're down in that scenario.
Yeah, again, I said it last night. This is a teaching moment overall. I think DA and Mikal are going to learn, and possibly the hard way, that they got to stop deferring in moments when they have the better play. Like that, listen, at every single level of basketball that I've ever played at, it didn't matter if this guy over here was a 30% shooter from three and this guy was a 50% shooter from three. If this guy's getting double teamed and he's wide open, he's got the better shot. So statistically speaking, he's going to have a higher percentage of his make possible. That's what Mikal had. I don't give a fuck about what Devin Booker has done. Yes, he's clutch. He's been awesome. Fantastic. However, a wide open shot is still a wide open shot, and you got to take those wide open shots when they come about. And for that, like, again, I was wrong on DA. Thought he had a more wide open shot than it appeared, and I was wrong about that. But Mikal has no excuse.
Shameless plug. Check out both their Twitters. They had amazing breakdowns on different plays from the game. I wanted to give you guys a shout out because I actually saw the game differently because of the way you guys broke those down. So check them out. They're worth it.
At @Saul_Bookman, at Gerald Borgay. Andy in the chat says, 3 of our 5 losses have come from dumb clutch decisions with no timeout called and hero ball antics. It's okay to teach, but how many times they got to learn the lesson? That's the big question. Everyone's different. Who knows how long it's going to take? Because Thunderous Dunks also mentioned Mikal looking really hesitant and a little scared, if you will, during that Portland game, late in that game as well. Regardless of what the L2M report said, because obviously he was called for a travel, but then they came back and said he didn't. But that's the big question, is you can't put a number on these things. It's just got to click at some point for these guys. And the hope is that it clicks sooner rather than later. But sometimes it just takes that one thing to make it go, oh, duh.
Right. And Mikal and DA, to be fair, last year when the Suns were one of the most dominant clutch teams we've ever seen, they were really good. But that was in accompanying roles with Devin Booker and Chris Paul both there to kind of bear the brunt of that burden. Now they're guys that we're going to need to call upon to rise up to that same kind of level, especially for as long as Chris Paul's out.
Yeah, the stage is theirs. And either need to step up or James Jones is going to have to find somebody who can.
Thunderous Duck says, will they get it?
Yeah, that's the next question.
You're paying $230 million between these two guys. They better fucking get it at some point. Listen, there's going to be a couple more learning lessons as we go through this season. I guarantee you there's going to be some other close games, and I have a feeling that one of these two is going to be put back in this situation one more time before we get to the end of the year. And the more and more you just kind of reemphasize these things, these two haven't really been in that situation very, very much in terms of being relied to come through in the clutch. And really, only one of them has really come through in the clutch, and it was about as easy a play as you could hope for. Very well executed. Again, the valley oop, where DA basically he just had to drop the ball down the rim, right? Mm-hmm. But that was a very high executed play, right? Mm-hmm. Again, maybe that's why they called timeouts. These guys have to go through these growing pains, because at no level, even when Bridges was at Villanova, he had other dudes around him at Villanova to where he wasn't the guy. And DA was the guy at U of A, but it was never in any really clutch situations. Never had to, you know, pull the team from behind, or he never had to hit a game-winning basket. Like basically every win that they had at U of A while he was there, they were basically blowouts or 6 to 8 to 10 point games. So it's a process, and they'll get through it. I'm not worried about this. This actually made me feel pretty good, considering how they played against the Orlando Magic, which was, to me, was a far more egregious game. Should never have happened in the first place. You got to show up and play these games. There was a lot of factors that went into that. But for this Miami game, I feel pretty good about where the Suns are at and how they're going to execute down the stretch in future games.
Right. You're playing shorthanded, and that was my biggest takeaway, is like we're talking about how they coughed up a lead, and yeah, that was bad. But, you know, you're missing Chris Paul. You're missing Cam Johnson. Jay Crowder hasn't been here all season. There's a lot of adjusting going on, and I'm okay if they're going to lose games like that. That can be learning experiences, as opposed to, like Saul was saying, the Orlando game, where the biggest takeaway was, wow, they just didn't really show up and they shot like shit. That wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Well, Captain said this L hurt worse due to the Magic L.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so.
Like you said, the Magic one was way worse.
But perspective.
From an overall perspective.
But perspective, right? We could sit here and we're like, oh, we're 8-5. This is terrible. We should have definitely we should definitely have a better record. The best team in the West has 4 losses. Like the West is wide open this year. I think 1 through 8 all have 4 or 5 losses, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. So plenty of ball game left to play.
Yes.
The defending champs haven't won a game on the road yet.
Yeah.
They're 0-7. So
yeah.
Hopefully 0-8 after tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's the importance of the regular season. Like, we're not going to dive into this conversation, but that is something to remember, is that as we continue along this season for the Suns, I know the goal is the playoffs and looking ahead to that, but this is part of the journey. If we don't go through this, if we don't learn these lessons, come playoff time, we're going to be in a worse spot than we were last year. And that's not something that we want to deal. So,
and top 4 still matters. That's important.
All right. So last night on the show, in addition to this conversation, there was someone in the chat that unknowingly opened Pandora's box by calling the Suns a small market team, which got all of us in our feelings in very different ways, very surprisingly different. Enough. Here's a quick little flashback of that case.
Yeah, there's 30 NBA teams.
Gerald, math, your best friend. Teams.
It's not small. I'm not going to say it's small, but 11 out of 30 is not
Gerald,
big.
It's top.
It's not even top 10.
It's in the top third of the league.
Okay, Gerald, listen.
That's not math.
He just said
10 out of 30 is not top 10.
He just said I'm not going to say it's small, but I'm also going to say it's not big.
It's not math.
Dear God, you guys.
Look, I'm going to change back to what
he
was
saying. Thank God this is not a math podcast.
I'm going to go back to what Saul was saying, because
we all suck.
I don't. I know you how to do fucking fractions.
You disagreed with 11 out of 210 not being small.
Because there's 30 NBA teams.
There's not 210.
I know how to do math.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I was one off of it being top third. I apologize.
That's how the math works.
I love how angry math made you, Gerald. And I love how angry small market made you, Espo. So here's the deal. I feel like we should dive deeper into this conversation.
Oh, this is definitely a UFC battle right now.
For me, I'm just
fighting,
like,
out of the blue corner.
When the topic of conversation around like the size of the market, I'm not basing it off of TV market, right? Because I know that's an actual metric that is measured. Mm-hmm. I'm basing it off of NBA teams, their cities, how much revenue they bring in, the viewership they have, the following they have, the influence they have. That's how I was measuring my ranking of teams.
And when it comes to the market size does not matter. And Espo is going to probably illustrate that better than any of us.
Let me make this very clear. I I took offense last night, Gerald.
Okay.
Because you act like you're the math king, as if you own the whole concept of mathmication. All right.
Don't. I just know fractions.
You just act like you know it all. Mm-hmm. Like you're a math professor.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to take you to school today.
All right. Let's do it.
Because I came up with an entire ranking system for all 30 NBA teams for the all-time franchise rankings, all right? Okay. And I put some damn work into this. There's a spreadsheet involved, some equations, a lot to research. That's how angry you got me last night. I actually did work today.
Right? I should get him angry more often.
That's how angry. So, Emma, can we throw up no. Let's throw up the first one. My franchise ranking. This is the magic formula here.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay.
TV market size, all-time win percentage, last three seasons win percentage, number of Hall of Famers, conference finals appearances, titles, and franchise value according to Forbes. Those are the eight metrics.
Okay.
I went through. I researched all of them. Mm-hmm. I ranked each category. Then I took the average ranking of each of those eight ones, with the exception of Toronto. They don't count as a TV market size because they're outside the country. So they were out of seven categories. You take the average, you rank everybody. And here are how I rank all 30 teams, not top.
Okay.
All 30 teams.
Okay.
And guess what? The Phoenix Suns are number seven.
Oh.
Not a small market. Top third in the NBA. Top 10, as I said, it goes Lakers, Celtics, Warriors, 76ers, Knicks, Bulls, your Phoenix Suns, the Heat, Mavericks, Bucks, Nets, Rockets, Spurs, Jazz, Nuggets, Clippers, Blazers, Wizards, Pistons, all these teams suck, Raptors, Kings, Thunder, Cavaliers, Pacers, Magic,
awesome
Hornets,
for the audio right
Grizzlies,
now.
Timberwolves, and Pelicans.
Right.
Yeah, that's called math. So suck
okay,
it.
But do you have the numbers for all of these different things?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us.
Would you like to hear?
Yeah, let's hear where the Suns rank.
In terms of TV market, the Phoenix Suns ranked, where am I here? 13th. In terms of all-time win percentage, they were 5th. Mm-hmm. Last three seasons win percentage, they were 1st. Mm-hmm. Number of Hall of Famers, they ranked 15th out of the league. Finals appearance or conference finals appearances, they were 5th in the league. Finals appearances, they were 10th. And then franchise value, they were 18th.
Okay.
Championships?
Well, at zero.
bottom.
So in title
for
rank.
Last.
I just wanted to, you know.
Yeah, just twist the knife a little bit. I understand.
So we got to say
that. They ranked 8th in championships because of how you rank it and just number
okay,
of guys.
Okay, I want to know, did you take all of those categories, right? That's what you were using to make this ranking. Mm-hmm. Did you do the calculations for every single team based on all those numbers?
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a whole
and literally numbers-wise, the Suns came in 7th,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one was
seventh.
It? 7th?
7th.
7th, yes.
Wow, Espo.
And there's
I got
all the math right here, the average rank where they ranked based on math. So,
okay,
yeah. Gerald, you can't argue with that. That's factual.
Okay,
I
how
can,
did you?
Though.
How
you
were they
I
measured
can.
Though?
Now,
did,
because
now
you,
Gerald's
you,
just because, gonna argue to argue right?
Because you selected categories that are important to you. You have finals appearances and conference finals appearances in there, and like it's not weighted in any way.
That's what I was gonna ask. How
There's
are they
also
weighted?
Like,
now you
yeah.
want weight.
So, they're
so,
also
no,
the
no.
fact
so,
that
so,
they're
so, so here's pull up the graphic
so
real quick.
The box, because
just,
they
no, no.
There's
no way to quantify these numbers that you brought up.
So so like the Heat, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. The Heat have 3 championships.
Yeah, so that
Four.
Championship has
like
to
the championship
weigh more
definitely weighs more than your 3 finals appearances.
Yeah.
It has to. Like there's no argument for that. Like you can't put the Heat below the Suns. Like the Heat are better, are a higher tier than the Suns.
You can hate all you want.
I'm not hating.
When you look at that, I mean, there's no glare. It wasn't like all of a sudden
no.
Charlotte was top 4 in the NBA.
No, I get it. I think your the way that you evaluated this is useful for evaluating how are they.
They're like, Gerald doesn't like it. Do your own math. It's under his
I don't
days.
Have to because I know how big the markets are. That was let's the go, whole point. This is an evaluation for like how much worth a franchise has, not money monetary wise, but how like prestigious or how well a franchise has done all around. Because a lot of these things, like ranking the last three seasons, of course that's going to skew the numbers because the Suns rank first because they've been on a tear. But that doesn't mean that they're suddenly mean they're suddenly inherently more a bigger market than the Miami Heat.
Put the list back up.
Okay.
Who do you find egregious in here?
I don't think it's egregious, but definitely would say that like Saul's point, the Heat and even the Nets, I feel like would be above the Suns.
The Nets, who sucked ass for most of their existence.
But we're talking about market, not the franchise.
I also think that I know that the valuation of a team has to be weighted a little bit higher than some of these other things as well, because you don't think that when they're coming up with these numbers, they're doing all of these same type of metrics based on that stuff.
Subjective. The Suns are going to sell for the most NBA franchise.
If the Suns and the Lakers were up for sale at the exact same time, you're not going to tell me the Lakers wouldn't bring in more than the Suns.
But that graphic wouldn't tell you that either.
No. But the thing is, the Lakers aren't for sale. The Suns are, and they're going to sell for the most a franchise has ever sold for. Value is all subjective in terms of the cash, who's available at the time, what the economy looks like. All those things.
Right. And so, I get your larger point that like this franchise is worth more than people give it credit for and that it should have the reputation of a major market. But I thought the original conversation was just market size because they were called a small market. I don't think they're a small market, but I don't think, again, my original point was there's a gap between a big market like Phoenix and like LA, New York, Chicago. Like those are San Fran, those are still the heavy hitters, and there's a big gap between them and even a big market like Phoenix.
You want to talk market size? I'm actually doing reordering here for you on the fly. So the Suns have a television market size of 2.158 million, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the small market, I mean, there's 17 other teams that range from 1.8 million all the way down to 620,000 in their TV market size. Mm-hmm. So anybody that calls Phoenix a small television market has their head up their ass.
Yes, they are absolutely wrong from that perspective. And I think the thing we have to remember too is that Gerald and I are not agreeing with the comments that Phoenix is a small market. Right. We absolutely do not
you
agree with that.
You said this team was mid yesterday.
I said it's a mid-market.
No, mid-level
market. You said the Phoenix Suns are mid.
No, you said
you called us mid.
And then you said I was mid.
No,
and then I'm mid.
This is a rewriting.
Anyway,
we got to check
the
tape.
I think it's fair to say the Suns are somewhere between 8 and 13.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Are you comfortable with that, Espo? Is that okay?
By definition, they're not mid then.
They could be.
You know who
they,
is
if
mid,
they fall
though?
eight, nine, ten.
The Nuggets are almost the definition of mid. They're 16th on the list. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Number one in our hearts. Debatable market.
Yes. Also, I do want to go back. Hey.Zero earlier in the chat. Said something that I feel like is even more egregious than anything anybody said. It said, Phoenix is not really a destination for players, Espo. Stop being biased. And then Phoenix is not a go-to market. If you take out the Sarver factor, which now you can, because that will change, and you look at the history of the Phoenix Suns, they have been a destination. Mm-hmm. They brought in big-time players. Like, you might have forgot that Jason Kidd and Penny Hardaway and Steve Nash all came here. Jason Kidd was a trade, but
Danny Manning, who was in the prime of his career
came
for a $1 million deal because he wanted to be here.
Yep, a lot of guys wanted to come and play in Phoenix because it is that great of a city. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future that will also be the case. Like, Phoenix is a great place to live, whether you want to admit it or not. It's just true. Like, guys love to come here. And so that's why a lot of the guys that do come here, they end up buying a house and staying here. Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, like Tom Chambers, like all these guys. Eddie Johnson, who's from Illinois, has no business staying here. He went to Seattle and came back because he loved it so much here. So you got to stop with this. It isn't a destination. If you have the right organization, the city takes care of itself.
Right. And they just, Chris Paul wanted to come here. Kevin Durant wanted to come here in the recent past. So this is a trend that, especially now that Sarver is selling, we should see continue to go in the right direction, because the Suns are one of the most competitive teams. They have a likable star and core and Monty Williams and all of that stuff. So, like, it's going to go in the right direction.
So what you and Lindsay are saying is it's the fans that are the problem.
Again, you're confusing franchise value with market size, which was the original conversation.
At this moment.
You are. You're being a brat.
Saul's never been prouder of me than this moment.
I'm just here to watch the world burn.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you guys think we are living in a fantasy world, maybe it's because we've been hanging out on Underdog Fantasy a little too much lately. Having a blast over there. Underdog Fantasy is the coolest app because it is the best way to enjoy fantasy sports, but also be able to make a whole lot of cash at the same time. It does fantasy kind of different, right? So you can go against your team. Like, you can get five of your friends together. You guys can all pick higher or lower things. You can do the highest scoring squad for that night, and you can put some money on it. So it's like got drafting things in it, right? And it's all positionless. So you can just draft six random players, and whichever one of you guys has the most points at the end of the night ends up making the most money. It's a lot of fun. It's fun with groups of people. It's fun on your own. We just put the link in the chat. It's also in the description of the show notes. You should definitely check it out if you have not already. We also have a fantasy show here at PHNX that can help you out along your journey, getting started on the app and making a lot of money on the app as well. It's really easy to get started. Just go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app on your mobile device. But make sure you sign up with that code PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. Also, speaking of a lot of fun, Four Peaks Brewery is a heck of a lot of fun, but it's even more fun when PHNX gets involved, and we have a whole bunch of really cool sports to watch. So we are teaming up with our friends at PHNX to host all U.S. and Mexico World Cup matches at their 8th Street Pub. You can check the link to register. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have specials, like beer specials, giveaways, guest appearances. You can get $3 Kilt Lifter and Wow Wheat Pints. I also think there's a breakfast buffet one of these days too, right?
I think is that the first game or is that the second?
Yeah, November 22nd. Yeah. On Tuesday, November 22nd, there's an 8 a.m. breakfast buffet. So it'll be a heck of a lot of fun. Make sure you check the description for that link to sign up to join us out at Four Peaks today. Okay. Y'all ready for the real chaos? Trade Machine Tuesday.
Let's go. Fire it up, Emma.
Train Machine Tuesday.
All right. We never left, baby.
We're going to
do. I always feel like the baby's going to.
Just start a little dance.
She never does.
This Trade Machine Tuesday, we're going to recap a few of the trade rumors and potential deals that have kind of been floated around or have been linked to the Suns here recently. I know we've talked about a few of these before on different shows, but I felt like we needed to kind of put a bow on everything just because there was so much going on at the same time, especially when Cam Johnson got hurt. This kind of all brought to the surface again. So let's start with Max Strus, right? So of the Miami Heat, obviously we saw him last night. Real GM reported that the Suns have recently started to engage with teams again about Jay Crowder, and one of those teams was the Miami Heat. And the article said that some people within the Suns organization are saying that Max Strus is an integral part of a deal that would send Jay to Miami. So we cooked up a few options. First up, the Suns would receive Victor Oladipo and Max Strus, and the Heat would receive Jay Crowder and a 2023 first round pick.
Right. And we talked about this on the pregame show, but we wanted to rehash it here. I personally don't see why the Heat would do that. Like, Strus has only started, I think, half of their games, but he's been really good for them. He dropped 31 over the weekend. I know that they like Jay Crowder, but, you know, a first round pick in the 25 to 30 range doesn't really give them much incentive to get rid of Strus and Oladipo, unless, like, Oladipo, they knew he was going to be injured, in which case he doesn't really do much for the Suns other than match salary there.
Unless Miami has their eyes on something bigger and they think they need first-round picks to make some kind of deal at the deadline, I tend to agree. But based on the way Max Strus played last night, it felt like Pat Riley went to him and went, play really shitty so the Suns no longer would like you in a trade. Because he totally disappeared after his 31-point game the couple nights before and had a pretty off night against the Suns last night. But, Victor Oladipo is a name that Suns fans have always had a little bit of fascination with.
I don't know why.
But I think you're right.
He was good.
I think you're right, though, in terms of if the only way you do that is if he's hurt and he won't be helping Miami at all, and then the Suns really want Strus at that point.
I mean, you know who else is really good several years ago? I can't even say a couple. I had to say several.
Who?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, boy.
So, that's – Oladipo's not that guy anymore. Like, so he's just kind of a throw-in to the trade just to make the numbers work. Strus is cool. I like Strus. I think he would be a nice addition. But again, I don't know if Miami would do that.
PHX in the chat saying the Suns could get a better deal if they had a first round pick and Jay Crowder than Strus. And I don't see that. To your point, it's a 25-30 pick in the first round if things go the way they're supposed to. And Jay Crowder is a guy that's been not sitting on his ass, making black and white videos for 3 months now. Like, workout videos is about all he's been doing.
I've watched Suns Twitter and all other social and the ridiculous trades that people think that other teams will take. It gives me Laker vibes. Laker fans act like that. Matter of fact, I think we have an actual graphic of such, because I saw this and I was like, oh, this is exactly what it is. This is exactly what it is. You are not getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Jay Crowder straight up. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. It never would happen. Some of these trades, I'm like, bro, you're going to give up Dario Saric and a second rounder for, freaking Murray from the Kings. I'm like, no, no, it'll never happen. Like, do you think other teams are just dumb? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, take it. It's good. It's good.
To your point, I'm not sure the Heat would even say yes to that. And I think that's about the best you're going to get out of a Jay Crowder and a pick trade is a Max Strus and a often injured Victor Oladipo. I think the ceiling that you're going to get with that kind of bait.
I think it depends on the team, because that's the one thing that people, when they conjure up these trades, they forget. Exactly. Like, they forget to bear in mind the other team strategy, where they're at as a team, what their rotations look like, what the money looks like. There's a lot of factors that go into finding a trade, which is why this might be the last Trade Machine Tuesday for a while, because there's only so many fucking trades we can come up with
in a couple of weeks. We had
to crank up the LeBron ones. We've pretty much run through a lot of these options already.
I will say this, I think this is where the Suns are going to end up being at, unless something that I'm just not seeing right now happens. I think they're going to have to wait until they get to a situation near the trade deadline that a said player from said city, not Brooklyn, said player from said city is upset, not happy with his situation, doesn't want to be there, has been kind of a malcontent. He needs a change of scenery, or maybe he's just struggled this season. He needs a change. He needs a vibe change or whatever. Then at that point, I could see a Jay Crowder being traded for somebody of higher value or equal value, right? But until that happens, I just don't see a scenario where, unless you're throwing in multiple other pieces, that you can trade Jay Crowder and get something of high value back for. I just don't see it. You're going to have to give up first round picks. You're going to have to give up Dario Saric and Landry Shamet, possibly, in addition to Jay Crowder. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So
we just need to be more realistic with before you say yes or no to a trade, ask yourself, if the roles were reversed, would you do that? And if the answer is not the same, then obviously they're not going to probably do it either, right? Like, we can't be unrealistic with our expectations that teams will just give us things, because we did have a really hard time for a long time, but now we're not in that spot.
There is one name, and JC Serenus has kind of brought this up, that I think you might be able to parlay down the road. I don't think it'll be right now, because the Lakers are still – they're in la-la land about their contention possibility. I'm not saying I want Anthony Davis, but I'm saying, like, I think he could definitely be on the trade block because of his injury history. And if somebody's willing to take a flyer on him, then I could see something like that happening. But again, you're talking about circumstances that are kind of unusual. This player has crazy, crazy unavailability attached to his name. Like, do you want to take that on? Do you think you're the franchise to be able to heal him? Like, there's just a lot of stuff at play. And until you figure out a lot of those things, it just ain't going to happen.
And Anthony Davis has been great this year. He's been the defensive player of the year front runner in my mind. But yeah, there's a lot of risk with that. And you're also hoping that the Lakers would settle for a pick heavy package and would be okay with not getting a Cam or a McHale back. You would include Cam in that type of deal if you had to. But like, I personally don't know if I would include McHale for AD given the injury factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also the fact that you're handing a rival, a very quality player, and you may be left holding the bag with a guy that is on the downslide of what he's able to do because of injury. And another thing to the chat saying, oh, you wouldn't give up a first for Strus. Not all first round picks are created equal. Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting him if you don't.
Yeah. Like that's,
I think it's hard for us to forget because we've had so many top first round picks recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Top 10 pick, baby. What? Yeah. No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're used to that type of a first round pick being what we would be giving up, but that's not what we're going to get anymore.
No, you're not in the lottery anymore. You're not giving up that scratch ticket that could hit big. You're giving up tail end of the draft in this scenario.
I mean, right.
Unless everything went horribly wrong, and even then, you could throw a protection on.
Right. Okay. And it's also worth noting that not only are picks less valuable if they're coming from the Suns, they're less valuable to the Suns, given what we know about how much work they put into the draft. So, like, you know what? Rather than spending it on the next Jalen Smith at the end of the first round and passing up a Tyrese Halliburton again, maybe we should turn that into a trade for someone that can help us win a title now. Just saying.
AD is not better than any Suns player in history. Stop. Yeah, you stop the cap, Eddie.
That's ridiculous.
Stop. That's ridiculous.
All right. So we have one additional trade for Max Strus. So if that one didn't tickle your fancy, we've got Suns receiving Duncan Robinson and Max Strus. I keep saying Strus. I know. It's so bad. It's Strus. My bad.
This doesn't.
And then the Heat received Jay Crowder and Dario Saric.
If that first one didn't take me a fantasy, this one's punching you in the gut.
Yeah. Right?
This is well, stressing
we
you
want Shay. We want Shay.
This is the type
Shay.
Of stuff we're dealing
we
with.
We want Shay.
Okay, fine.
Give us Shay.
Listen, we're going to talk about Shay Gilgeous-Alexander because everyone in the space of the Suns seems to love this guy and want to have him on the Suns team. Mm-hmm. He is constantly being talked about as quote unquote unhappy or quote unquote potentially available. But we need to preface this conversation with some disclaimers, okay?
No.
Yes. You have to be realistic when it comes to SGA.
But
a
why?
Lot of the conversation around SGA wanting out of OKC or not being happy. It's all rumors.
So no Landry Shamet for SGA?
No, absolutely not. No, that would never happen. But we also have to remember these same type of rumors, maybe not as often as we see it with SGA, were similar to what we saw with Book years in the years past. So there is no necessarily, like, none of this is legitimate. SGA is actually available.
But ever since SGA's been with the OKC Thunder, every single year, they basically are trying to tank. So you can only take so much tanking before you finally hit the lottery and you hit the jackpot and you get the one guy that you actually do want. And I mean, what, we're going on year four now, five now for Shea? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with without being close to contended. In contention, except for his first year with Chris Paul, I think. I can see why that would be exhausting. It's a little bit different because the Suns came in thinking that they could manufacture like wins, and they just didn't realize that their own people that were choosing those bodies were terrible.
Can I just say this? Chelsea is one hell of a buzzkill.
I mean, it's important though.
I'm
like,
sorry.
We bitched for years everybody else on the outside being like, oh, they keep saying Devin Booker's available
we're
or like he wants out
potential.
And all this shit. And everybody's doing the same shit with SGA. So,
okay,
like,
but did we ever, and maybe we did because it was such a long slog and I've tried to blank it out of my memory. Mm-hmm. But the Athletic article, which a lot of this spawned from over the weekend, said a league executive said he had heard SGA isn't happy with the situation and may ask out.
He said we keep hearing, which is more speculative. That's more general.
And you could also have said the same thing about Devin. I'm sure he wasn't happy with the situation either. But was he going to ask out?
But you know what, though? Guess what? It's not happening to us, so I don't give a fuck.
That's fine.
I want Shea.
Hypocrite.
I want Shea. Hey. I want Shea. He's unhappy in OKC, clearly. He needs to come here.
We can't live in fantasy land. Let's just go ahead and do that now. We're going to move over to fantasy land, but I just wanted to put some disclaimers out there just in case.
Give it to me now.
A little bit of fantasy and reality. There's a world where he's a son. And Mikhail isn't. So
there's a world where he and Luca are sons. And
don't tease me with a bad time.
Anyway, the point is, I think this is never going to happen. He's playing like an MVP candidate right now. He's putting up 32-6-4. The Thunder would be crazy to trade him unless he booked his own plane ticket out of there and stopped showing up to games. But if there was a situation where that happened and he forced his way out and the Thunder said, okay, we're okay with tanking, we can't help you win, this is what one of the first trades would look like. The Suns get SGA, the Thunder get Crowder, Šarić, Cam Johnson, and 4 first-round picks, which is the most that you can offer.
All of them.
You might even need to throw in some pick swaps on top of that because guess what? The player package that you're sending to OKC is not great, especially with Cam Johnson's value being a lot lower coming off the meniscus tear.
Yeah, yes. But you just whispered sweet nothings into Sam Presti's ear. You said, we've got what you want.
Draft picks. We got all the draft picks, baby.
Like this guy, all in on draft picks. Like this guy, that's his kink. I've said it before. Sam Presti loves him some draft picks. And you're whispering sweet nothings to him when you say, I got 4 of them for you.
Yeah, but I don't know that this actually gets it done, that's a huge
I mean, I'd love it for
portion of it for Presti, but I don't think this gets it done. I really
don't. Would you trade Mikhail for him?
You're going to have to.
Well, let's find out because the next trade is what they would have to include here.
Let's go!
Looking at this, the Suns get SGA and Kenrich Williams in exchange for Jay Crowder, Mikhail Bridges, and 3 first-round picks. You could probably throw a 4th one in there if the Suns are going to get Kenrich back because he's actually a pretty useful rotation player. I still don't think OKC does it as much as Saul. Saul is dancing in circles over here, but I don't know if that gets it done either. So.
Oh, I'd do that in a second.
You would trade Mikhail in a second for SGA?
Oh, man.
Honestly,
Sam is like, ooh.
I love Mikhail.
Now you're getting closer.
The fact that people are saying that SGA is better than Book, if you genuinely believe there is even a fraction of truth to that, then you got to trade Mikhail for him.
I don't know if he is yet, but so far this season, yeah, I would say that. He's been on a worse team, obviously, but that's because of who's around him. I think SGA is a real talent, and if you had Booker and SGA on the same team, it doesn't matter who number one is because it'd be 1A and 1B in terms of good luck stopping that backport for the next 5 to 10 years.
You know what gets this done? It's that you add the 4th pick and then you add what Sam Presti really loves.
What's that?
A tall white guy. Put Jock in there. And Sam Presti cannot avoid wanting that.
Why would you throw Jock in there?
Because Presti loves a guy that's 7 foot and white.
Listen.
Draft record right now.
Fuck no. We're not trading Jock. I don't care. If it was Jock with SGA straight up, I wouldn't even do that. We're keeping Jock. Jock, you're my boy. We're not leaving.
I'm just saying, that's what Presti likes.
This is the literal reason why there was a disclaimer, because you put this type of trade out, which is a much more realistic trade that you would have to present to get a deal like this done, and half of the chat says no. Everybody wants SGA, but then they say no when it actually comes to a realistic trade.
Because, you know, Mikhail has been doing so much in the clutch. I mean,
damn, Espo, you didn't have to go that
hard.
If I got to, I got to. You know, I want a championship, and none of you are safe. Is what it comes down to.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Look, I would.
What?
I would.
Careful.
Don't say it.
I would package DA and Mikhail in a deal for SGA.
Oh wow!
Think about that backcourt. Think about, you could then resign Cam Johnson if he could stay healthy. Like,
you really need somebody to play defense then.
The defense would be
fence. Who cares?
The defense would be
7 seconds or less. Defense is what it becomes.
Hey, you're not the only one. Rick James says, "Shit, I'd trade McKay and DA for him." So you're not alone. Why? You're not alone.
No,
I don't know about mid-season. You would need to have a better plan at center than what you've currently got.
Hey, now you're slandering Jock and Bismack.
I'm not.
You started
saying,
it.
No, I just said that Presti would be intrigued by that.
I just said I love Jock. You need a starting caliber center. You can't do that type of move mid-season.
Okay. I would give up DA in that as well by itself.
And then bring over LeBron. And you're done. Well,
let's go, you guys.
Revamp, baby.
Come on.
Giannis signs for the mid-level. We're in business.
We don't rebuild. We reload.
We have let's become go. The Lakers fans. What is happening?
We do really have are. Super chat.
I'm thirsty for a championship, Jared.
We know.
Slide into my DM, Sam. I'll get this deal done.
We have a super chat from HN. Thank you for your super chat. They said SGA will do what Booker did, loyal to the soil.
That's the thing. Publicly, he has said all the same things that Booker said about liking his team, liking the city he's in, wanting to win there. I know that guys say things and sometimes they go back on what they say publicly, but we're doing the same thing to SGA that we complain about everyone doing to Devin Booker.
Let me make this very clear.
To be fair, I never really complained about the people saying shit about Devin Booker.
Let me be
when Draymond Green said we got to get Devin Booker out of Phoenix, I feel like we were all pretty.
Well, that was because it was Draymond Green.
At that point, they should have. At that point, it was that bad that people were thinking you need to send a rescue mission to save Book. I mean, it wasn't that asinine when it came out of Draymond Green's mouth. What is asinine is SGA saying, "I love the city of Oklahoma City."
Yeah,
right?
He's a liar for that one. For
that's
sure.
Total
that
shit.
One, I will
no NBA
you, yes.
player's like, I well, really hope I could be stranded at Oklahoma City for my entire career.
Yeah, man, nobody wants that.
Poor OKC.
Oklahoma City is
I take that back. Today. Darren Collison is the only person that would say, I'd like to be stranded my entire
people
career
that live in Cordis Junction think that Oklahoma City is like a third world country.
I have. No words for that.
So you think that?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Oh, man. I thought this was funny. Somebody in the chat, I can't find it. It was a long time ago, but somebody said, guys, don't worry about the trade deadline. Like, we're not making a big blockbuster move. James Jones is going to trade for sticks and we're going to be fine.
Oh my God.
You know what though? I did look this up last night.
It was funny.
He is averaging the same number of rebounds as one DeAndre Ayton.
There are so many things I'm not going to say about any of that.
I'm really, really trying hard. Just
I cannot.
Do you need an OG song?
I would love an OG. Actually, I'm going to wait because we have our Friendsgiving tonight. Got about another hour, then I'm going to pop one of those bad boys in so I can have a really good time.
But an OG's would, it'll take you one of two ways. It can either relax you and help you come back down to reality, or if you really lean into it, you could go off even further into fantasy land and you could talk about how we could get Landry Shamet sent to OKC and get Shea back.
You could be
one
screaming
for one.
About
we
Mac.
Could make it work. Yeah.
I say we skip stuffing this Thanksgiving and stuff the bird with some OGs. Everybody's doing better. May not taste great. I don't know, but everybody's feeling a hell of a lot better.
It would make dealing with the chaos sometimes that comes with big holidays a lot easier. That's for sure. Yeah. Especially if you're the one doing the cooking. But if you guys haven't tried OGs yet, we highly recommend them. They're a lot of fun. They're also super helpful. They've got their new Sleepy Time gummy, which is great for helping you fall and stay asleep. If you haven't checked them out, you can find them online at ogsbrands.com. And as always, you can find them at your local dispensary. But just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to enjoy. Also, Espo, did you sit on the queue for 100 hours today trying to get Taylor Swift tickets?
I thought we were going.
I did for my fiance.
You did? You tried? Did you get a...
We did.
Oh, okay.
You son of a bitch.
I didn't pay shit. This is her thing.
If you don't want to go with her, I'll go.
I think they wound up being, with fees and everything, probably like $430.
Didn't you say we saw some on Game Time for almost the same price?
Well, they went down.
Yeah, they did go down.
They did go down.
If you don't want to go, I'll go.
I'm not going. It's for her.
It's not Swifty, but I did buy tickets today.
What'd you get?
I'm going to go to the U of A game on Saturday.
Okay.
And I got 8th row seats in the north end zone, 8 of them for $90.
a piece or all together?
All together.
All in for $90
for eight tickets?
Shit you not.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Shit you not. Yep.
That's a good deal.
It's a fantastic deal.
Wow.
It's
either
Shout
a great
out to
deal
our friends over at Game Time for that special hookup.
Apparently the game's on the road and Saul's watching it on the big screen.
Damn. That's incredible.
I hope I can get some Taylor tickets. I did not have any luck.
I think the Game Time app will come through for you. If you guys missed out on Taylor Swift tickets or you just are looking for something fun to do, maybe last minute, check out the Game Time app because right now on the Game Time app, you can save up to 60% on tickets when you buy them last minute. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description of this show. It's right there. It's easy. All you got to do is click it and then buy your tickets. I did it the other day. I bought tickets for my niece to go to the Suns game. Last minute, I think they were like $32, $35, something like that. So
you're
going to
find that ticket tomorrow,
deal.
Though. Because tomorrow for right now.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, Warriors tickets. Yeah, what are those?
Right now, the cheapest you can find for Warriors tickets is $111.
Damn.
But for the Warriors?
Yeah.
I don't think that's terrible.
That's not terrible.
I don't know. But anyway, check out the Game Time app. Like I said, links in the description. Make sure you buy them through that. We're going to round out today's show with a little producer surprise. Emma, what you got planned for us?
We got to see that again.
That's the best.
We got to see that again. One more time. Let's go. Bye, Shane.
Shane gone. It's now producer.
That was a great producer
over
surprise.
Shane's on that one. That was perfect.
Sorry, buddy. Okay, so for today's producer surprise, we're getting a little deep.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We stole this from the good folks at 98.7, the Bickley and Murata show. They said this today, and I was like, this is a good one.
Oh, we're playing mustache on a mustache?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys think that you guys have peaked in your life yet? If so, when?
Yes.
Wow. When was that?
So I know the exact date.
Wow.
So have you peaked in life? And if you have, when was the moment you feel like you peaked?
There was no hesitation.
I know the day. November 30th, 1983. It was the day I was born, and that was when I peaked.
Oh my God.
Not physically peaked, Espo.
No.
Peaked
wow,
in life.
This did not need to go there.
I was a C-section birth, so it doesn't count anyway. But look, I'm just saying, right? I've never lived up to an expectation since that moment. So
wow,
I peaked there.
That was the most depressing, like nihilistic ass response you could come up with. No, I don't think I've peaked. I hope I haven't peaked. The plan is to continue to peak with you people, but no, I don't think so.
But if I can't, I'm out.
I mean, I hope I haven't peaked, but I will say that, like, if I did peak, then it definitely was. And I'm not trying to, like, kiss anybody's ass, especially not my wife. She knows that. But, like, my fucking wedding was bomb as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it was the best event I've ever been to. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Like, it was awesome. Is that Disney World? We had a blast. We had fireworks from a wedding. Like, it was awesome. Yeah. It was just pure awesomeness.
Hello says I've peaked because I'm not winning any more Emmys with this show. So apparently I peaked.
Oh, man.
Honestly, though, I think there's a world where you could say, yes, I've peaked. But then I think there's also another world where you could say absolutely not. Because here's why. It has taken me my entire life to find a hobby that I actually enjoy. How many people can honestly say they have a hobby that is strictly just to bring you joy? Mm-hmm. That you're actually creating something, making something with your hands that is just to bring you joy. I don't know many people who have a hobby like that. And I finally found a hobby like that. And I feel like this is like the second act. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a peak. I don't know. But I'm excited about it.
I would say professionally, I have peaked by being here. Mm-hmm. I would say that, like, because I've never been anywhere where I can do the shit that I'm doing now.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
this
for
is
sure.
True. Yeah.
Like, I used to be able to yell at people in the military, which was fun as hell. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But this is a different kind of mentoring and you know, kind of leading, if you will. And I get to work with awesome people. I remember watching Lindsay on those same Fox Sports Arizona freaking post games and, you know, doing her sideline reporting and stuff like that. And I said from the beginning, like, at some point, we were going to start to see the real Lindsay, and every day we get closer and closer and closer to it. You guys call her Chelsea.
I don't know if that's start a to see, good thing.
It's a phenomenal thing. That's, because that's off camera, Lindsay is the best Lindsay.
That has been the downfall.
Let me ask this, Lindsay. What's more important, having fun or some stupid gold trophy with wings on it?
Absolutely having fun. Yeah. This is way better. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. So who needs two Emmys when you got a life of joy like you have on this program?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Wait, why is everybody laughing? No,
don't read the comments.
We got some oversharing in the chat.
Oh, my God. I don't even know.
Shame on you, Andy.
Some mild
shame on you.
Oversharing. Emma? Have you peaked in life? I think, happening. I mean, you're 12, so I don't think.
Oh, right. Did you just catch a Gerald Stray?
I'm just saying she has lots of life to live.
Oh, my gosh. You caught a stray from Gerald. That's like hitting the lotto. That never happens.
I have no words, honestly.
Oh, my gosh.
Gerald, do you remember those graphics I made for you of you, like, on a flat?
Yeah.
And how you had no words after about Monty and what he had to say?
Yep.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Fair enough. Peaked? No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm 21.
Yeah, I don't think you can really even consider the fact that you've peaked at 21.
Like, I think that in life there's moments where you have, like, where you peak in moments sort of thing, like chapters of your life. But, like, once you close that chapter and you move on, it's just, like, more and more to go after.
Yeah.
So.
Emma's a...
Damn. It's not. She's taking a philosophy class.
Emma's
right
an 89-year-old man trapped in a 12-year-old girl's body.
Emma is the old soul of the group.
I didn't know that.
By the way, somebody, one of the girthlings said, "Why do you need two Emmys when you got Espo?" And I agree with that. I mean, I don't need two Emmys.
I don't
Emmys.
Know who said
me.
That in the chat.
It was. It actually was in there. I just forgot who said it.
I missed it. Do we have any other ones?
Do you think that an Uncrustable?
Oh my god! This fucking argument again.
Damn it, Emma.
Let's go there. No. Come on.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're not going to go too far into this because I don't need to be worked up on before Thanksgiving dinner tonight with all of you guys. Okay, I don't need to be angry at Emma going into this Thanksgiving dinner where we're supposed to be thankful for one another.
She brings a tray full of stupid ass Uncrustables and says that they're fucking ravioli filled with jelly and peanut butter.
Emma found this graphic. We put it on our Twitter account, PHNX_Suns, a few games ago when it was just a nightmare of a game. But essentially, it's 5 food items, 6 items. And every single food is lumped into one of these categories. So it's like, what is it? Like a square? If it's closed on all 4 sides, it's a calzone. Yeah. If it's flat, it's a pizza.
It's toast. Basically.
Or it's toast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the cube rule of food. And so for a cube, there's 6 sides, obviously. So if one side of the cube, I guess it's
somebody, whoever made this, first of all, was super high.
Yeah.
Super high.
Yeah.
What do you think we're going to debate tonight?
That graphic made me so angry.
It did.
As
it made
an
me
Italian,
really upset, too, because
so
it,
upset.
Didn't it say that basically a hot dog was a taco?
Yes.
Hot dog is a taco because it's the bread is 3 sides.
Yeah, no.
Hold
on. Hard pass.
It's 3 sides with an open face.
Hold on. It's more a taco than it is a sandwich.
That's
I refuse to accept
false.
That bullshit. That's
that false. Is absolutely false. It is far more a sandwich than it is a taco.
No.
Yes.
No.
100%.
The cube rule of food is identifying like where the starch is located, and that's how it's identifying it. Yes, it breaks it down into 6 very niche categories, but if you do think about it...
She's going deep again, guys.
God bless.
They're very niche categories. I will definitely agree with you guys, but... If you think about it, it's not necessarily wrong.
No. No.
It is wrong.
It is wrong.
It's wrong.
But you know what? This could be a really great, you don't even have to, you know what? You don't even have to go on walks anymore with your cousins at Thanksgiving, all thanks to OGs. You could just like go around and have an OG. And then you can have conversations like this at Thanksgiving dinner. With your cousins.
If you're on OG.
With your cousins.
What does that have to do with this?
So I'm saying this is a perfect conversation to have with your cousins on Thanksgiving night. after a nice walk.
If you're tired of arguing about politics at the Thanksgiving table, argue about what's fucking ravioli.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah,
because
Uncle,
it's not an Uncrustable.
Stop being racist. Let's talk about raviolis with peanut butter and jelly in it.
I knew it. I knew that's the kind of discussions you guys were having when I'm not around.
See,
don't you look me in the
head. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Hello, gets it.
By the way, somebody in the chat said, nobody older than five eats Uncrustables.
That's false.
That's total bullshit. That NBA false. Players eat Uncrustables.
Yeah, that is true.
After games.
They're disgusting as hell.
No,
yes,
they are bomb.
They're really not.
And if you freeze them and you eat them while they're frozen still, it's 100 million times better. Yep. So good. Okay, with that, we're going to say goodbye because things are getting a little too out of control.
Chelsea's about to emerge.
We talked a lot about Thanksgiving, but also just really quick, a reminder that Christmas is just around the corner. It's going to be here before you know it. We're going to have a Black Friday sale at phnxlocker.com, and it's a great way to cross off so many people off of your Christmas shopping list. What? Why are you guys pointing at me?
You know what's happening this week, right? Big announcement.
Ooh.
We're going to tease it tomorrow. Look at our social. You're going to save a lot of money. Lots of money.
Hey.
You're going to save lots of money. I wish I could do a Trump
voice. It's going to be huge. Oh, no. It's going to be phenomenal.
I'm worried about this.
You're going to get big savings.
Okay. We love you guys. Thank you for coming through for us. As always, tomorrow we will be back with a pregame show 30 minutes before tip-off. And, of course, a postgame show once it wraps up. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And, of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
Gerald, the math was spectacular today, and you look like a loser. Ahoy, hoy!
Megas in control, and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX, though. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saw pass the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always wreck the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B, always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like...